Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, this week, we join Jesus and his disciples on a return trip from the region of Tyre, where with some earnest persuasion on the part of a Gentile mother, he healed a woman or a girl that was demon-possessed. We're told that he was sort of reluctant to serve them at first, which seems counterintuitive, doesn't it, to say that Jesus could be portrayed as reluctant to heal? It is possible that he hesitated or paused to give his disciples a clue that his ministry was about to extend from Israel to the Gentile world, that is, all the rest of humanity. And in a wonderful exchange with this child's mother, Jesus relents and heals the child with a word. Not surprising then, Jesus returned from Tyre to the region of the Decapolis, a Hellenized or Greek region east of the Jordan, in other words, Gentile country. There is movement implied here. Jesus travels figuratively and literally from Jews to Gentiles, thank God. His ministry is first to Israel, but then he is persuaded by this Gentile mother, who will not take no for an answer, to extend his ministry to embrace a Gentile child. That expansion continues and carries Jesus into the Gentile territory where he administers another healing, which is in our gospel for today. That man whom Jesus healed is most likely also a Gentile. The scripture says that they brought to him a deaf man with a speech impediment, and they begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. They would be the friends of the deaf man. So this is really not only a story of the deaf man, but it is also a story of friends who cared enough about the deaf man to bring him to Jesus and begged Jesus to heal him. Clearly they had faith that Jesus could and would heal him. You know, we know very little about this man's history. All we know is what we need to know, and that is that the deaf man was an individual. But his individuality doesn't tell us much. We don't know anything about what he looked like. We don't know his name. Nevertheless, he was an individual that was surrounded by friends who cared for him, who loved him, who hoped for his healing as much as he did, and who had a faith that drove them to bring him and to seek help from Jesus. And here we see 1 Corinthians 13 being demonstrated. Love, hope, and faith. The reverse of how we hear it in 1 Corinthians 13, which praises those three virtues. This simple community of faith, acting out of love for their deaf, mute friend and hope that Jesus would heal him, then approach Jesus. In light of this community's demonstration in love and action, what happens next could be perplexing to our minds, because Jesus then takes the man aside. That's not an incidental detail. Jesus took him aside, away from the anxious urging of his well-meaning friends, away from the community of hope and love, and took him aside in private, away from the crowd. Jesus took him aside, away from this community of friends who loved him and who brought him on a journey of hope that he could not have made himself. You might wonder, why did Jesus do that? Actually, it's something that Jesus does fairly regularly. He takes people aside, away from the crowds. Jesus himself would spend some time away from the crowd. There were times he took selected disciples with him to a place away from the crowd, like when he took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, where he unveiled his glory to them. And sometimes Jesus would simply go off all by himself. Apparently, a loving community is vital and necessary, but not sufficient unto itself. And that's really important. Friends who love this deaf man and who have gone well out of their way to bring him to Jesus have served him well, as only friends can. However, we need the support of the community, the healing that only Jesus can bring is still a very private thing between a deaf man and Jesus. A community of friends and people who love is vital and necessary, but ultimately, healing can only happen through a direct, personal, private encounter with Jesus. The deaf man's friends wanted the man to be healed. The deaf man's friends recognized his disability. But what about the deaf man? Did he want healing? That seems like a ridiculous question, doesn't it? Of course he did. But maybe this is a valid question. This might be a little speculative, but I wonder, had he become so identified with his ailment that healing might bring a threatening loss of his identity? For some people, their healing can mean the loss of their identity and the support and the attention of a caring community. It is through a personal encounter with Jesus, and only through such an encounter, that kind of reservation is resolved. That personal relationship has a critical role, which we'll mention just in a moment. But for now, think about the community of faith, hope, and love. We are accountable to one another and to the world, as we are sometimes reminded, and probably especially in our hyper-individualistic times, not reminded enough. We are a church, an organic body created by the Holy Spirit, and not just a collection of individuals. We do well to be reminded of that, especially here in the United States, where our uber-individualism is so furiously emphasized. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for the Bill of Rights that are secured in our Constitution. Individual liberty is one of the great blessings we have in our country that so many countries do not have. But I know the frustration of government mandates like wearing masks when they're told that vaccinated people wouldn't need to follow those requirements. Things have changed, haven't they? But for the sake of those unvaccinated and the children who are not allowed to receive the vaccination, it doesn't bother me to wear a mask at all. Hopefully I'm far enough away from you that there's no issues there. We need to be reminded that there are some who cannot receive a vaccination due to serious allergic reactions to the vaccines. But out of love for our community, we respond by wearing a mask and protecting those who are weaker among us. In the creeds, we profess the communion of saints. And this is an important part of our Christian faith. 4 of the 10 commandments involve our responsibility to our faith community in which we live. St. Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. This corporate relationship God has given us is more than a me and Jesus kind of relationship. Both must be asserted and taught. So, yes, we are a community. Yes, we are accountable to one another. Yes, we need one another and cannot go it completely alone. And as much as we hyper-individualists would like to be, we are not sufficient unto ourselves, as is demonstrated by the deaf man's friends bringing him to Jesus. Think of it this way. We are figuratively and sometimes literally the deaf man. We all occupy spaces where we can't hear things that we desperately need to hear. We all need a community motivated by love for one another, by hope for a better tomorrow, and by faith that there is a power greater than ourselves that can bring about a greater tomorrow, a community that will bring us to Jesus, the source and goal of our faith and hope and love for the healing only He can bring. So there's another side to our faith. It still comes down to that personal relationship with Jesus. We are led to Jesus, however, by communities of faith. But then Jesus takes us off to the side, away from the crowd. And it is those moments with Him personally He communicates to us and touches our lives. We are called not simply to be a community, but a community of faith. The foundation of our community life together is our individual faith, which proclaims, "I believe." What binds us is our faith in God's presence with us in the Lord Jesus. That tie that binds us into the community of faith can only happen by way of our personal, individual relationship with Christ, who leads us together to God. Thus, as a community, we are not sufficient unto ourselves any more than individuals are sufficient unto themselves. We are a community bound together as individuals, personally touched by the Spirit of Christ, personally healed with a personal faith in Jesus. We come to Christ to salvation by way of such a community. That is so true. If I were to ask you right now, today, what would you say? How did you come to Christ to salvation? I hope you haven't forgotten about your community who brought you to Christ. Was it your parents, your godparents, your friends, Christian friends, neighbors, maybe co-workers? I promise you, you didn't get here today by yourself. Someone else brought you to Jesus and took you aside personally by His Holy Spirit. He gave you the ability to hear the promise of new life in Christ. What He says to us in so many ways, He says to each one of us, "Your sins, though they are many, are forgiven you." And you will hear Him say even today, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." If your spirit heard them, you received healing from Jesus. And this truth elicits a response. If you could just let your ears, Ephatha, be opened for just a couple more minutes, because this is really important. After the miracle of the healing of the deaf man, Jesus ordered them to tell no one. Command? But the more He ordered them, it says, the more zealously they proclaimed it. When Jesus touches and heals someone, sometimes they can't help but proclaim it. can't help but share the news, and not just with their friends who brought them to Jesus. Even when Jesus orders them not to, they feel they must tell. They cannot help themselves. If you have been touched by Jesus, you likely will tell others. It's not a matter if you should do or not a matter of what Jesus tells you to do. You're going to do it. You may not be able to help yourselves, just like those in our gospel reading. Now, I was born and raised a Lutheran. That means something. So I understand y'all. When it comes to sharing what God has done for us in Christ, we're a little bit shy. Agreed? I've heard people say, oh, I have faith, but my faith is a private thing. As one who understands this so well, let me say this. If you don't feel like, if you don't feel moved to tell others about Jesus, it's okay. It's okay. Stay in His personal presence by reading through the Gospels. You are no better or worse than any of the many people Jesus forgave and blessed. Jesus always looked at the crowds with compassion, and so He looks upon you and me the same way. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. John tells us God is love. Every word is written from God to you for the healing of your souls. St. John expressed that in his first letter, saying, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? To know, to be assured, God has forgiven you. God has made you a promise that you will be with Him in heaven. But finally, this is my last admonition, if I can call it that. Stay in the presence of those who have been healed, for they will bring you to Jesus. And sooner or later, you might just become like those who were so astonished by this miracle, and you will join them saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In the name of Jesus, amen.